माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोधनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोधनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी। यमुना तीरा वनचारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयादुधीरयेत्। नष्टप्रयेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया। भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। Krishna, good morning. Is it okay, the lighting? It's not too dim? It's okay. It's fine. No one's gonna fall asleep with it a little dim. Okay, we'll continue. Today is, we're reading from Canto 3. We're in chapter 23 now. I think this is new for all of you. And text number 3. Vishrujya kamam dambham cha. Vishrujya kamam dambham cha. Dvesham lobham agammadham. Dvesham lobham agammadham. Apramato dhyata nityam. Apramato dhyata nityam. Tejiyam sam atoshayat. Tejiyam sham atojayat sayat. Vishudhya kamam dambam cha. Dvesham lobham agammadham. Apramata dyotyata nityam. Tejiyam sham atoshayat. Please chant. Dvesham lobham agammadham. Vishidya kamam dambham cha. Dvesham lobham agammadham. Apramata yata nityam. Students. Vishudhya kama dhambham cha. Apramata jita nityam. Dejiyam sam atojayat. Kama dhambam cha. Jiyam sam atoshayat. Vishudhya. Giving up. Kamam. Lust. Dambam. Pride. Cha. And. Dvesham. Envy. Lobham. Greed. Agham. Sinful activities. Madham. Vanity. Apramata. Sane. Udyata. Laboring diligently. Nityam. Always. Teji Yamsham. Her very powerful husband. Atoshayat. She pleased. Translation. Working sanely and diligently, she pleased her very powerful husband, giving up all lust, pride, envy, greed, sinful activities, and vanity. Purport. Here are some of the qualities of a great husband's great wife. Kardama Muni is great by spiritual qualification. Such a husband is called Teji Yamsam, most powerful. Although a wife may be equal to her husband in advancement in spiritual consciousness, she should not be vainly proud. Sometimes it happens that the wife comes from a very rich family, as did Devahuti, the daughter of Emperor Svayambhuva Manu. She could have been very proud of her parentage, but that's forbidden. The wife should not be proud of her parental position. She must always be submissive to the husband and must give up all vanity. As soon as the wife becomes proud of her parentage, her pride creates great misunderstanding between the husband and wife. The nuptial life is ruined. Devahuti was very careful about that, and therefore it is said here that she gave up pride completely. Devahuti was not unfaithful. The most sinful activity for a wife is to accept another husband or another lover. Chanakya Pandit has described four kinds of enemies at home. The father is in debt, he's considered to be an enemy. If the mother has selected another husband in the presence of her grown-up children, she is considered to be an enemy. If a wife does not live well with her husband but deals very roughly, then she is an enemy. And if a son is a fool, he is also an enemy. In family life, father, mother, wife, and children are assets. But if the wife or mother accepts another husband in the presence of her husband or son, then according to Vedic civilization, she is considered an enemy. A chaste and faithful woman must not practice adultery. That is a great sinful act. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Bhacharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Bhastichade Shudharine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Speaks a little bit here about the relationship, the marital relationship of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. If you remember from the last chapter, a lot of it was about their marriage, how they got married, who Devahuti is, who her father is, one of the Manus, the emperors of the universe, and what their service was to help populate the earth. I've been married now almost 6 years, and my wife and I have been together almost 12. And I was remembering when I was reading this that when I was maybe a year or so after we started talking and dating and seeing each other, even though we're in a long-distance relationship for quite some of that time. She's from England. I remember I told my spiritual master about our relationship and to seek advice from him. And I remember being a little nervous, and I told him about our relationship, and I asked for some relationship advice. And I remember he said that I can't give advice from someone who's been a grihastha, as he's been a brahmachari and sannyasi his whole Krishna conscious life. But he says, I can give advice as someone who knows relationships. And for more, you know, circumstantial advice, you can seek couples who have been married a long time, who have a lot of experience. And then he proceeded to give more generic relationship advice. And I remember thinking afterwards that it was significant that he said that, because as someone who practices Krishna consciousness very deeply, and as someone who's done it for many years, it makes sense that that person could understand relationships, because Krishna consciousness is all about relationships, right? Spiritual life is all about relationships. And the more you practice it, the more you realize not just our relationship with Krishna. Of course, ultimately, it's about our relationship with Krishna. There's a relationship to Krishna that we have become bahirmukha, that we've turned our face away from Krishna. We have ignored him in this relationship. That's the original relationship. All relationships revolve around this relationship. But ultimately, in order to learn about Krishna, approach him, there has to be relationships with his devotees. And it's not alone that we develop our relationship with Krishna. It's always through our relationship with devotees. And it's that even those who are most advanced, they see everyone as devotees. Samadarshina, there's equal vision. They have a difficult time discriminating because they are so pure and they see the pure spirit soul within everybody. And so this is the idea here, that Krishna is, he is moved by the love of his devotees, and he favors his devotees. He is especially favorable to those who are devotees of his devotees. So I'm going to read from this purport and explain a little bit about the different points that are presented here in this marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. You might think this doesn't apply to me, but all of you have relationships with somebody, the person sitting next to you, your teacher. No one comes into this world without any kind of relationship. There's always the bond with the mother from before the time the baby is born. And then the bond with the relatives grows, friends, family, grandparents, teachers, partner, spiritual teacher, on and on. So I want you to think a little bit today, and what we're going to do is go through the context of the purport and some of these points and think about it in terms of relationships in general. Because ultimately we need to learn this art of relationships. The qualities that are required to have good quality relationships with devotees. And so eventually this way we can approach Krishna. Now, how can we expect to gain the favor of the Lord if we have qualities such as pride, we look down upon others, we gossip about others, we think we're better than them? Krishna is moved by his devotees. They're so dear to him. So if we treat other devotees this way, how can we expect to ultimately have a relationship with Krishna? So the qualities that we express to one another in our dealings with one another is very, very important. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's the Supreme Lord himself, he gave 8 very famous instructions, arguably the most famous or the most important, is about how to chant Hare Krishna, which is stated by him to be the most important, the only way, the most important process of God realization. And he mentions 4 things. Anyone know these 4 things, or any of these 4 things that Mahaprabhu mentions in order to always chant the holy name? Any thoughts, any guesses? 1's humility. Do you know any others? He says, Chanadapi Sunichina Tarorivā Suhishnana. So another one is tolerance. Another quality he mentions is giving all respects to others. And the 4th quality he mentions is not expecting any respect in return. And if you think about this, it's very interesting because his main instruction about chanting the holy name is about qualities that are expressed in our relationships to one another. Not necessarily a technique on how to chant, but these very important qualities, these very important ways to express our heart, which can be done in just the opposite way and does not bring any God realization, does not bring any connection with him. So let's look into this a little bit more. Before I go into the purport and explain some of these points and try to make sense of what Srila Prabhupada is saying, I want to give some context. It's important to see this pastime, this story, in context of Vedic culture or Vedic civilization. The civilization or the culture that we see these personalities, the Manus, Devahuti, Kardama Muni, it may seem like the social structure is patriarchal. It's a male authority, a male lineage. The men are the priests. It may seem that passages or statements like these are shown to portray women in a more negative role or limiting roles, but when you look a little more closely, you can see that it's not necessarily anti-women. It's just, this is the social framework that the society is in. And rather, the Bhagavatam again and again shows us the power that women have, and actually perhaps more so than the kings in many, many of the situations. For example, Draupadi, the wife of the Pandavas. So many things happened between the Pandavas and the Kauravas that could have sparked a war. It went so far, so many times. But the war didn't begin until Draupadi was dishonored. Until she was dishonored, then the greatest war broke out because of her power, of her personality and who she was. You can look at Krishna Leela, you can look at the household of Nanda Maharaj. You could read the pastimes of Damodar Leela and clearly see that the real in charge of the household is Mother Yashoda. You can see Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and his reverence for his mother and the strong figure that Mother Sachi had in his life. Advaita Prabhu, Lord Nityananda, they couldn't convince, they tried, they really couldn't convince Mahaprabhu to stay in Navadvip, don't go to Vrindavan just yet, you have business here. But it wasn't until his mother said, please, for my sake, stay nearby so I can still hear what are you doing. I can get messages about you. I can see or I can be close to you, at least in some physical proximity. And due to his mother's request only, he chose Jagannath Puri as his headquarters, not as far. Or Lord Ram's father, Dashrath Maharaj, just about to coronate Lord Ram as king through the request of his co-wife, that the stepmother of Lord Ram, Kaikeyi, who sort of manipulated by her main servant, Mantara, she requested Dasharath, no, please make Bharat in charge. The power these Vaishnavis held, it's very clear that the Bhagavatam shows that the traditional, this social system that's there, it's not always so black and white. And even more, Bhagavatam propounds something higher than a social system or a caste system or social designations, social code. Bhagavatam, it propounds bhakti. It speaks about bhakti. It says, dharma projita kaitavo, completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth. And so we see Bhagavatam again and again almost showing role reversals, showing where there's scenarios of traditional Vedic culture, traditional societal norms are broken. For example, there's Prahlad Maharaj, who is a child, teaching his father. Very unusual, but he's much more advanced in consciousness than his father. Or we have Bali Maharaj, who is the king of the demons, being the personality who embodies surrender to Krishna. That was the demon of devotee. It's very unusual. But it's showing that bhakti supersedes this. There's one story that in Krishna's Leela that really, really describes this. It's the story of the wives of the Yajnik Brahmanas. Anyone heard of this story? Krishna and Balaram, they're in the forest. They're very hungry. And so they thought, oh, well, there's these Brahmanas nearby. And they sent some of their friends. There are these Brahmanas nearby. And these Brahmanas, they are doing a yajna to please the Supreme Lord. So surely if we ask them that we're hungry, they'll give some of the oblations, some of the food that they're offering into the fire. They'll give it to us, because after all, Krishna and Balaram are the Supreme Lord. So Krishna's friends, they came to the Brahmanas. They said, oh, Krishna and Balaram, they are nearby, and they're very hungry. And the Brahmanas saw this as a disturbance. Why are these boys coming to me? Can't they see I'm busy doing a yajna? Can't they see I'm busy doing a yajna? No, go away, go away. I have food stuff to give into the fire for Lord Vishnu, for Lord Narayan. I don't have time for Krishna. they couldn't see past their rituals, even though by caste, by position, they were the male leading brahmanas, qualified priests. They couldn't see request that Krishna is just nearby asking for the very same thing you're doing in your puja. So they went to the wives of the brahmanas, who were said to be so advanced spiritually, had so much devotion, more than their husbands. And when they heard about this, Krishna and Balaram are hungry, and we are being asked to give them something to eat. This is the greatest blessing. Immediately, they made something so nice. They went over to Krishna and Balaram. They got to offer this directly to them. So this is clearly showing that it's what's higher than what society may say you are in your position, what even in Vedic society, what caste you are, what gender you are. Bhagavatam is showing again and again, the most important thing is your devotion to Krishna. That supersedes any social role that's there. And I think it's very important to mention this because this is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. And sometimes we will hear pastimes that take context in an ancient time where society works a little different than it might work now. And if we get caught up in that, we can put down the Bhagavatam for good. We can become fed up with it. We cannot understand things in the broader context. And a lot of people, they see statements in Srimad Bhagavatam that may rub them the wrong way. This seems to be gave a negative connotation to women, or this seems to put them in a limiting role, but not understanding that's not the point of the book. The point of Srimad Bhagavatam and the culture of Bhagavatam is to promote Krishna consciousness. No matter man, woman, brahmana, shudra, whatever, these things aren't important. The real important thing is bhakti to Krishna. That's really one of the main purposes of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I thought I would go through a few of, maybe for the next 5 to 10 minutes, things that are mentioned in this verse, in this purport, and that how that applies to relationships. The first thing we can say is that here it says, here are some of the qualities of a great husband's great wife. Kardama Muni is great by spiritual qualification. It also mentions that Devahuti is also very great and can be even considered equal by spiritual qualification. So we can see that they're both spiritually inclined, right? Husband and wife are both spiritually inclined in this relationship. In the next purport, actually, the next verse, Prabhupada says that both parties are of the same category. And when that happens, both parties are the same category, the same common shared goal, as you can say, or the same common shared values of this category, then it creates a very happy life. Right? So he says, if one partner is a devotee and the other partner is very materialistic, then there won't be peace in the relationship. There is a group, well actually it's a couple, and they're very famous for their research and their writing on relationships. It's considered gold standard. It's the Gottmans, the Gottman Institute. Anybody heard of the Gottman Institute? Yeah? A few people? They're really incredible. The research they do, what they share, and they have a principle that says in a healthy relationship, and remember we said relationship, any relationship, we're talking about a marital relationship here, but this can apply to other relationships too. There's a shared meaning and purpose. Can you agree with that? In a healthy relationship, there's a shared meaning and purpose. And without it, it can feel very rocky. It's like a foundation. If you build a house right into the ground, that ground can shift, it can sink. But if you pour concrete, you build a solid foundation, the house stays. So in a healthy relationship, one of those foundations is that there's a shared meaning and purpose. And the best is if both partners can share a deep purpose of coming together to serve the Lord, to serve God. This is the purpose beyond just our bodies, beyond pleasing one another, beyond pleasing our senses, is that we have a goal beyond this lifetime, actually. And I share that, you share that, and then together we can share that common goal. And it's very strong. Even if our interests change over time, our personalities change over time, this will keep us together. So here, Devahuti and Garudama Muni, they have this principle, right? Their relationship, it's not self-centered. They both have this goal of wanting to please Krishna. At weddings, you often hear this principle described as keep Krishna in the center of your marriage. Have you heard that? It's usually mentioned at every devotee wedding that you will go to, but for good reason. It's very important, and it can mean something a little bit different to everybody, but this is the essence of it, that there has to be the same shared goal of Krishna that's present. Same with a friendship. I've seen the friendships that lasted in my life are the ones that we, myself and my friend, both want to become better devotees. And even if we move far away, I haven't seen the other person for years, if this is still there, when we see each other again, it's like no time has passed. If I think of some of the relationships I've had that's not the case, and we see each other again years later, there's hardly anything to talk about because we've changed so much. And our main compass has changed, so to say. You know, if my compass is facing this direction, and your compass is facing this same direction, but they're far away, and we come together, we're still facing the same direction. Does that make sense? But if I'm facing north, and you're facing east, and we're right next to each other, but we're not facing the same way, see what I'm trying to say? There's this connection is not there. It also mentions, Srila Prabhupada also says that Devahuti is not proud. She's not proud of her. She doesn't show pride or express vanity, meaning sort of try to put herself over her partner, over her husband, because, oh, I come from higher parentage. I come from wealth. You don't come from wealth. My father is the emperor, your father is not the emperor. She doesn't rub it in her husband's face, so to say. And that's very important also. It's in the relationship when there's this competition trying to one-up the other person. That creates a hostile environment, right? That creates friction. You can see it in friendships also. You know, if you're trying to make a friend with somebody and the whole time they're trying to show they're smarter than you, they're trying to show they're more athletic than you, or they're more popular than you. You don't really want to be around that person. It makes you feel uncomfortable. It makes you feel a little hostile, a little fragile. It's not very nice. So Srila Prabhupada says here, as soon as the wife becomes proud of her parentage, her pride creates a great misunderstanding between the husband and wife, and their nuptial life is ruined. So Devahuti here is exemplifying this. She's being very careful in this sense. And I think the lesson we can learn here is that we have to let go of pride, this idea of I am right when it comes to relationships. Also so important in marriages that I am right or I am better in whatever sense. It's a we. It's together. It's me and you together. Not me versus you. It's not a competition. They say when there's arguments or fighting, if it's I'm right and you're wrong, or I'm trying to prove how I'm not at fault, then it creates endless tension, endless friction. But if it's us versus the issue, we're in it together, we're going to solve this together, then whatever problem is going on can be solved with this mindset. And the last point I want to mention from Srila Prabhupada's purport, which maybe rubbed some people the wrong way, says she was submissive. What does this mean, submissive? Sometimes the word submissive or submitting or surrender, it could rub people the wrong way. Surrendering to Krishna, surrendering sounds so negative, it sounds so forced, but really it means taking a humble approach. It's willingly cooperating. A few months ago, I gave a class here on Wednesday about trusting. Remember that one, trusting? Trusting in Krishna. And trust is built over time. I gave the example about a jar, and this mom had told her daughter that she felt hurt by her friend. That, well, think about all the little things that person has done that has gained your trust over time. And for each one, you put a pebble in the jar or a marble in the jar, and eventually it'll grow very big. And that's what trust is. And when you trust somebody, when you trust Krishna, when you trust in his plan, when you've gained that trust over time, your faith solidifies. And when your faith solidifies, it's very easy to cooperate, to submit yourself, to take a humble position. So what this means here is that she trusts her husband. Her husband was a worthy person. He was a great husband, as Srila Prabhupada says here. She trusted him to protect her, to take care of her, that she knew that he knew what's right. And so she was willing to take a humble position. It's not a forced submission. It was based off of love and trust. And I think in our relationship with Krishna and devotees, cooperation and humility are very, very crucial. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tadviddi pratipatena pariprashnena sevaya. So Tadviddi pratipatena, that by approaching a spiritual master, you can learn all the viddhis, you can learn all the knowledge, realization about Krishna will come when you do these two things. Pariprashnena, this means submissively inquiring, asking sincerely, humbly. And sevaya, offering some service. So it's something that's actually very integral and in bhakti, this quality of being submissive, of being humble. And our relationships, again, it ties in with pride. If we're acting in a proud way, that we think we know what's best, that we can't be a receiver of blessings that come to us. We can't cooperate and make something greater than just what we can do in ourselves. This relationship of Devahuti and Kardama Muni is so wonderful because out of this relationship, something great came out more than just them as individuals. Each of them are incredible people, pure devotees, but the Supreme Lord came as their child. Because of their cooperative mood and coming together in union as marriage, together they're greater than individuals themselves. And that's the point of a relationship, of a marriage, of a healthy relationship, is that this cooperative spirit where both partners are taking on a humble position, they're working together to a common goal, it creates a situation, a result that's better than what each of them individually could ever do. And that's the idea here with relationships, with marriages, and the qualities that go into creating one that's successful, or any relationship that's successful, is that the result is something greater than you can achieve on your own. And therefore, bhakti to Krishna, devotion to Krishna, our relationship to Krishna, is not something we can do on our own. It has to be done with others. It has to. There's no way. It's only with the support, the sangha, the relationships we have with other devotees. And that relationship can manifest in so many ways, so many wonderful ways. Here it manifests in the marriage, can manifest in your friendships, can manifest in your families, can manifest in a relationship to your spiritual master. And these relationships allow us to come to a platform of loving Krishna that alone we cannot do ourselves. So that's all I have to say for today. Thank you so much for listening. Hare Krishna. And happy to, Hare Krishna, you're welcome. Happy to take questions and continue discussion since we still have time for everyone who is left. I know I didn't cover everything in the purport, so if we can still keep talking if you like. Wait one more minute. Okay, Mother Agamika.
I think it's nice how when you were describing submissiveness and trying to present it in a favorable context, you brought up the element of trust in a trusting relationship. It's practically natural.
Yeah.
That, you know, and Prabhupada says the man has the big shoulder mentality. So they will naturally lead, and then the in that if the woman trusts the husband, over time that trust builds, like you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Then why not?
Yeah.
Especially if they're devotees aiming for Krishna, relationship with Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Helps me a bit. I was a little nervous for this class because I know that everyone's family situation is different, and I'm speaking to a group of 70, 80 kids, and I don't know what all their families are like. I don't know how some of this sits with them, perhaps. And I didn't want to make statements that seemed, I don't know, very one-sided. I just wanted to come off in a way that they could understand a broader principle. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.